Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Hey, everyone. It's Kalithia. Yes, me, your host, Build, Grow, and Enjoy, BGE Radio. It's Wednesday. Hump day. Is that what they call it? I'm telling you guys the truth. I never knew that Wednesday is hump day, or is that some special holiday? I don't know, but I keep seeing everyone saying it, so I'm just joining on the bandwagon and saying hump day today. So I guess that means it's a half point of the week. But happy Wednesday, 6/19/2013, 3 p.m. Atlanta, 12 p.m. here in San Diego, Los Angeles, buildgrowandenjoy.com. Free member. If you haven't already, you need to become a member. Spread the message. Tell your friends, your family, your uncle, your aunt, your cousins, your nieces. You got the point. Let everyone know. It's free to keep in the loop of the great things that we're doing across the nation, from city to city. There's so much to come. Build, Grow, and Enjoy is growing rapidly. And then we're going to go into the global aspect of everything pretty soon also. So there's some great things. It's going to be he that's here to encourage you guys and put you on the path of success. At Kalithia, you can follow me on Twitter, BGETV. Be sure to subscribe also when you go in to become a free member, because we are getting the visuals up and running. There should be a couple other videos that's coming up on it. I know that the network is working on that. We're trying to pull that together. You guys, I was just telling my guest today, I was like, woo, if you guys only knew what the behind the scenes to make this happen for you guys, it's just ridiculous. But, of course, we can't do it without you. But if you think the radio is hard, it looks easy, but, okay, it's not hard. It's not easy behind the scenes. But television is 20 times even harder. So it's a big process. We're learning as we're moving along. But definitely want to give you the best quality of content and, that's going to put you on the path of success. And that's what we have today. It's that time of the month, you guys, tax and financial tips that put you on the path of success with our lovely Debbie Snelling, the Snelling Report, your monthly Snelling Report. She's not feeling too well, you guys, so be patient with her, but we're going to get this message across. Welcome, Debbie.
Always happy to be here, Kalithia. You're a lot of fun.
I try to be. I try to be. Now, I know you're not feeling well, so we're just going to go through this. You know, people look forward to this show monthly because, you get them on track when it comes to taxes and finances. So,
man, we got some good stuff this month, too, I tell you what.
Let's go ahead and get right into it. First one I want to start, starting backwards. Starting a business, 3 things you must know.
Oh, you're going to play tricks on me. I'm organized frontward, so let me get to my page so I say the right stuff in the right order. Okay, see, this goes back to, if they only knew how much work goes into this. It's not all off the top of my head. Some of it is written down, and a lot of it comes out of my little head.
You guys see that? That's a true accountant. You see, she's organized, ready, on point. You know, if it's really too hard, Debbie, we can go ahead and start with that net investment income tax.
I'm all right with it. I'm totally there. Because we've gotten the newsletters, the 3 things that you need to know, and there's more than 3 things. So I just wanted to make sure that I hit the 3 things while I yammered on about the other things. So starting a business is not hard. All you have to do to start a business nowadays, and it has always been true, it's a little different nowadays, all you have to do really to start a business is to say, hey, I'm in business for myself. Now, what happens is that when you go to the bank used to just open up a business account for you, and now they say, no, I'm afraid I can't open a business account unless you've got a taxpayer identification number. And so you have to apply with the IRS to go get a taxpayer identification number. Now, there are several types of what we call TIN. One of those is an employer identification number. And you know what's silly about it is they're all the same thing. It's just that when they call it an employer identification number, it's because when you filed the form that said, I need to have a TIN, you said, and I'm going to hire people too. And now they give you the same exact number and they call it an EIN. Why? To confuse you. That's why. So your taxpayer identifying number might be your Social Security number, which it used to be the banks would accept. But nowadays, very often, they'll make you go apply for a taxpayer identification number. If you're going to have employees, it is 100% necessary to get a separate identifying number, tax identification number called the employer identification number. And that's because you have to file payroll tax returns. You have to make payroll tax deposits. You have to, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, it's not until seriously to me until you're making $30,000 to $50,000 of net income that it really becomes worth it to you to do a lot of structure modifications beyond just forming an LLC so that you have the corporate legal structure around you. When do you want to look at estate planning? When do you want to look at trust planning? And when do you want to look at setting up corporations? And do you want a corporation versus an S corporation? Well, from a pure tax perspective, not until you make $30,000 to $50,000, in my opinion, IMHO, right? Although none of my opinions are humble, if you want to know the truth. So you have to get an EIN, and that taxpayer identification number is used to file your payroll tax returns. You'll use it on your income tax returns. You'll give it, when somebody asks you for your identifying number, you'll give it to them. So the fastest way to do it is to go to the IRS website. You can do it by phone. You can do it by fax. They established a rule about a year or two ago, which is really, truly irritating to attorneys and accountants, where you can only do one identifying number per day per person who's initiating it. So, you know, let's say that we've done some tax planning and we're setting up five corporations for you or some partnerships and some corporations. It now takes me 5 days what used to take me, you know, half a day to do. It's crazy. It's crazy, ridiculous, government improving your life but making everybody else's worse. The other thing that you have to have, again, if you're going to have employees, when you have employees, you have to file with all of the state jurisdictions. So you file with the IRS to get your employer ID number. Now you have state income tax withholding that you have to pay. You have state unemployment that you have to pay. In California, there's also a disability tax that you have to pay. You have to file sales tax returns. And as we all know, Congress, I believe just today, it may have been yesterday, I'm not sure if I was reading it last night or if I was reading it this morning, but the Senate has just passed the new law that would forever change the way that state sales taxes are calculated. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that if you have $1 million or more in sales, if this law passes, and we talked about it on our Facebook page, which is one of our Facebook pages, Tax Tips for Small Business, it'll forever change the way that you're going to do sales taxes. Even if you have no physical presence in a particular state, if your sales are $1 million or more, you are going to be required to collect and remit sales tax to that state. This is a big deal. This is a very big deal. So if you've got to talk about sales tax planning now you've got to almost hire somebody to do this for you on a full-time basis, because every state and every local jurisdiction, and I'll tell you, all what I'm doing today is filing. I got a client for whom I'm filing 53 sales tax returns, and that includes state. And you go, wait, but there's only 50 states. Because the states have local jurisdictions, in particular Louisiana. In Louisiana, they don't trust the state to give them their money. Why? There's a long history of corruption in the state of Louisiana. And I'm sorry to those of you who live in Louisiana. It is factually correct. So get over it. And it is so factually correct that none of the parishes trust the state. Well, many of the parishes don't trust the state to give them their money. And so they might make you file local sales tax returns. Colorado some years ago, gosh, it's been probably 15 now. It's been a long time. No, it's only been about 8. Still a long time. Colorado went from a simple tax return to, ta-da, now you got to file 10,000 local jurisdictions. And you got to file rural taxes. And, you know, it's just, oh, my gosh, there's some states where it's just a nightmare. Arizona, you got to file city taxes. So this is forever going to change the way sales taxes are paid. It means that if you have $1 million or more in sales, that you, by God, better start filing, because I don't see how the House isn't going to pass this unless they're just fighting with the Senate. Sorry about the coughing. Okay, now, back to assuming we got employees. So we've got our federal employer ID number. We've got our state ID numbers. And now you actually have to calculate payroll. Huh. So for the IRS, it means you have to get a Form W-4 completed by your employees. For the INS, you got to get your Forms I-9 completed. I'm sorry, it's not the INS anymore. It's now called ICE. So for ICE, you got to get the Form I-9 completed. Form I-9 says, I'm legal to work in the United States, and here's my proof. You then have to review their proof of their evidence, and you have to sign the Form I-9 saying that you have reviewed it and it's accurate. And if you don't do that, it's $100 per employee for failure to do it properly. So it's a pretty serious honking penalty. And then you'll have to get the various state forms completed. And the state forms are like the W-4. The W-4 says, here's who I am, here's my filing status, and here's how many exemptions I claim, i.e. dependents. So you got to do the same thing. Georgia, California, I don't know of a state that has income tax that doesn't have a form. So then you got to keep all of those. You got to keep them confidential. You got to keep them secure. And by the way, to make sure that you're protecting yourself legally, and you know my lawyer speech, I'm not a lawyer. It's felony to give advice in Georgia if you're not an attorney. For God's sake, seek legal counsel. But nevertheless, you got to comply with state and federal laws to keep employment records confidential. And protect yourself. Get an employment application from everybody. For me, everybody that I look to hire now has to undergo a background check. If they're not willing to do it, then I don't do it. I do a criminal background check, and because I deal with money, I also do a credit check. Bad credit doesn't mean that I won't hire you, but it means that I will watch you more closely and put safeguards in place to protect my client's money.
Right.
Right. Although it may mean that I don't hire you.
Right.
You know, those are the three big things that we put in the newsletter about what you need to know. You also need to know you need to get a business license. You also need to know that in addition to sales tax and income tax and payroll tax, that you may be subject to some other taxes. Maryland, I think it was Maryland, I put out an old Nasty Gram post. Maryland passed a tax on impervious surfaces. Are you freaking kidding me? If it doesn't let water go through it, you have to pay a tax on it. And these are things you're already paying taxes on. This is the roof of your house. This is your driveway. Oh, my good God. Are you kidding me? And I put that out, and I got an email back from somebody saying the city of Athens, Georgia, also has this tax. Are you kidding me? So now I'm going to get taxed 15 different ways on the same dang thing? I'm just mad about that.
Right. Right. And these are the little things that we all miss, because I'm worrying here too. I never heard of something like that. Never heard of anything like that.
Oh my God, it makes me so mad. If only I could form an opinion, huh?
Yeah, well, here on Deal, Grown, and Joy, you are open to do stuff. Now, moving on to the next, we're going to go back up to the top. So you guys have that starting a business, three things you must know. More information on the SnellingReport.com. Follow Debbie on Twitter, SnellingReport, at SnellingReport. Now we're going to move over to the net investment income tax.
And this comes out of Obamacare, and a lot of people miss this. And if you're married, you really get a big honking penalty on this. And the net investment income tax is a tax on the net investment income of individuals, estates, and trusts above certain statutory income thresholds. So if you're single, your income threshold is $200,000. So you would think if you're married, your threshold would be $400,000. No, thank you very little. It is not. The income threshold, if you are married filing jointly, is $250,000. So in addition to your income tax bracket where you pay, which is probably 39.6% for these people, you're also going to pay an extra flat rate tax of 3.8% on your investment income. Now you're paying taxes twice on the same thing again. I don't know if you can hear me. I am pounding my fist. What has gone wrong with these people? So these taxes are not indexed for inflation yet. I don't know that they will. I mean, it's a good thing for the government. And here's my favorite. Non-resident aliens are not subject to the tax. However, if they're married to a U.S. citizen and planning to file as a resident alien for the purposes of filing, married, filing jointly, then it gets harder. Thank you very little.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then because your investment income doesn't normally have any taxes withheld on it, now you probably have to make quarterly estimated payments. Oh, my gosh,
right.
How much bigger has your tax burden just gotten? If you don't file quarterly estimated payments, you're going to have to pay penalties for not paying enough. And since your income is up here, where your modified adjusted gross income is over $200,000, your penalties may be substantial. So,
right.
You know, if you're expecting a windfall, I had a guy who called me yesterday. He's doing fantastically. We're going to do some estate and trust and tax planning for him because he's making – you know, 5 digits per month of investment income by selling options, by buying and selling options. He's doing fantastic. But, man, you got to do some tax planning now because now you are the hated rich and you're in the highest tax bracket, and now they've just smacked an extra 3.8% tax on top of you. So now we got to spread the income out to the various places to try to avoid that tax. And, you know,
right.
Think about it. If you're talking about $250,000 and you've got an extra, that's an extra $9,500 worth of tax. Well, you know what? It's worth paying somebody $10,000 even because you break even just about in the first year, and every year after that, you're going to save $9,500.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I swear these laws are written to get money for the attorneys. While I'm on a rant.
Wow, that's great information. That is really good information. Gosh, we just learn from you each and every month. And it goes further in on your website, thesnellingreport.com. As you say, you know, the sale of home, estate and trust, you know, reporting and paying, you know, like you said, the net investment, income tax. Kind of like
well, and if we got a few seconds, I do want to remind people that the sale of your home under current tax law is not taxable up to $250,000 of gain if you're single or $500,000 if you are married. There are some, and you have to have lived in the home for 2 out of 5 years as your primary residence. And if you have unforeseen circumstances or a bankruptcy or a change of job, then, you know, there's some, you can prorate it. So I need to point that out. I just had this come up. A friend of mine called me last week. This happened to his son. They bought this wonderful house, and 9 months later, his wife is pregnant. So now the house isn't big enough for their family, and now they got to sell it. So we got to have to do some good tax planning for that. It comes up. It comes up all the time.
Right. You know, that capital gain, they really, really watch.
Mm-hmm.
So sell your home, but keep the profits.
But keep the profits. And this is what I was just talking about. This is the 2 out of 5 year test.
Right.
2 out of 5 years, and as your primary resident. Now, remember, this is 2 out of 5 years, so it doesn't mean that you had to live there 2 consecutive years. You could live there for a year, you could go move for 4 years and go, or for 3 years and then go back for a year. So it's 2 years out of 5, but it doesn't have to be concurrent.
Right.
You also
can
only exclude the gain on one home. Sorry. That was some of the sickliness coming through. I was trying to beat it down. So if, like, say, Euclidea, where you're living in, you know, multiple locations, you've got to determine which one of those locations is your main home.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a client this year where he lived in Alabama because his job was there, but his wife and family were here in Georgia, and they live here in Georgia. So it was a big to-do with Alabama about which one is their tax home.
Right.
So that's what it comes back to, is which one is your tax home?
Yeah.
That was about a 5-page research memo so that we could support to Alabama what our position was going to be.
Right. Right. Right.
Remember that when you buy your home. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is just on the gain of your home. The exclusion is on the gain of your home. So if
right.
you make improvements to your home, keep that documentation, because all of those improvements to your impervious surfaces, among other things, all of those improvements go to increase what's called your tax basis, or
right.
it's easier to explain to people to say your tax cost. So if you bought your house for $200,000 and you put $75,000 worth of home improvements into it, then your tax cost is $275,000. You sell the house for $550,000, and you pay $40,000 in commissions and other fees. So now your net gain is basically the $510,000, which is $550,000 minus the $40,000, minus $275,000. So you got a gain of $235,000. Well, bing, bang, boom! Look at me. $235,000 of tax-free money. Sweet.
Yeah. Really, really.
What can you do with that? You can go make five figures a month like this guy in Texas buying
right.
and selling out a stock option.
Right. Right. Got to know how to work it, and they need to have you as an advisor.
That's all I'm saying, Cletia.
Well, record keeping. What are some records that people should keep?
Well, on the purchase price of your home, keep your settlement statement. I'm always surprised by it. And what's the settlement statement? That's the paper that you sign at the lawyer's. What are the 50,000 documents that you sign at the lawyer's table? Often referred to as a HUD-1 settlement statement, because on the HUD form, that's what they call it. They call it the HUD-1. And so keep your settlement statement. If you make improvements, keep copies of all of those receipts, all of those invoices from your contractors, all of your change orders. It's not enough to keep the estimate. Keep those change orders, but really keep the invoice if they really give you an invoice. And often contractors don't really give you an invoice. They give you an estimate and you pay it. Any worksheets or forms that you have filed is under prior tax law. If you sold a home and you bought a new home, then you would defer the gain. Under current tax law, you no longer defer the gain. It's just tax-free money. So if you have any deferred gain from prior to May 7, 1997, a.k.a. old tax law, keep those worksheets from the tax return that you did then. It's interesting to note that because you have an open item from that old tax return, that tax return still is still open theoretically for audit purposes. So, just keep that documentation about the sale of your home, because that's the only item that's going to stay open.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Good information. Good information. And now you can get all that information on the SnellingReport.com. I'm on the air with Debbie Snelling. Your monthly Snelling Report here on BGE Radio. Build, grow, and enjoy at Snelling Report. At Cletia, you can follow me on Twitter, buildgrowandenjoy.com. We are going to take a quick break, Debbie, and when we come back, we're going to talk more on, of course, the tax and financial tips that you share with us to put us on the path of success. But I want to go ahead and transition into 8 ways children lower your taxes. Now, that does not mean that people need to go out and go have babies, but you're going to share some tips on that piece for us. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Josue Andino. Tune in every first Thursday of the month at noon Eastern Standard Time on BGE Radio. In Search of a Healer is a natural health show that answers all of your health questions and concerns. Join the journey to finding all of your health solutions every first Thursday of the month at noon Eastern Standard Time on BGE Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's Jiggy Jag, Jigman Freud from Build, Grow, and Enjoy. We do the big program, Build, Grow, and Enjoy presents, each and every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com. It's a featured show because we have a lot of featured content. Great guests. We have bloggers, podcasters, marketing people, people who are influential in the world of business and entertainment. We talk to them each and every Friday. Build, grow, and enjoy on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Pamela Reese Wordlaw at the Preparation Room with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, where we worship and praise God and prepare the way for the Lord. Come on in and let's get this show started.
Need help with your marketing plan? Diamond Roots can virtually guarantee that you succeed in meeting your business objectives. Visit www.diamondroots.com. Diamond Roots is a premier marketing and PR agency focused on providing cutting-edge strategies for business-to-business communication campaigns that deliver tangible results. Visit www.diamondroots.com or call 404-228-3052. That's 404-228-3052.
Social media is not as fad and is becoming increasingly more popular. Social media is the new paradigm for advertising and marketing. Social media is 24/7 and ever-changing. Whether you are a novice, intermediate, or advanced, there's always something to be learned. Are you getting the ROI that you expect? Do you not have time to manage your social media network? Do you know the strategies to effectively attract followers? Do you know how to effectively set up and use autoresponders? Jay can show you how to manage your social media on a platform and much more on social media.
Yo, where'd you help?
Yo, what up, this is Cisco.
Yo, this is Jazz.
And this is Nokio the Entity.
Yo, what up, this is Teo.
We are personally inviting you to be part of Urban Hangover 2 in Las Vegas. You got to be there. We're going to be performing all our hit records. Our boy Dwelle and Slick Rick are going to be there to make the show even crazier. It's going to be super grown and sexy. You need to be there. If you've been to Vegas, you know how it is in Vegas. If you haven't been, this is your time to come. You can register for the Vegas adventure at www.urbanhangover.com. And remember, what happens in Vegas never happens. Be there.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And we are back. We are back. BGE Radio, Build, Grow, and Enjoy. BGE Radio powered by Blog Talk. At Kalithia, you can follow me on Twitter. Our guest today, Debbie Snelling, The Snelling Report, your monthly Snelling Report, at Snelling Report on Twitter. Definitely, you guys get on over to urbanhangout.com. We're going to be out there. That's happening next month, July 26th through the 28th, Las Vegas, Planet Hollywood. For young professionals or professionals from all over the nation, annually they come to Las Vegas, meet up, networking, having a great time together. And, you know, this year they had The Well, Slick Rick, and as you just heard, Cisco, who's going to be performing. So we're looking forward to go check them out and go support them out at Planet Hollywood and, you know, meet some really cool and probably fun people. Also, Alex Thomas' event is coming up, and, you know, Alex Thomas Jeff Taylor is going to be joining me here on BGE on the 10th, but we're going to be heading out on the 13th and the 14th, you know, with our peoples and going to go support them. The pool party, you know, is going to be at the Roosevelt Hotel, right smack dead in the middle of Hollywood. And then we're going to head over to the Mountain Gate the next day and, you know, go have some dinner and drinks, you know, and hang out, a little bit of wine and stuff, and mingle with some of the celebrities. Alex has a really great circle of people around him. And I'm talking really high-profile people. I mean, we got, you know, a lot of the athletes, like many of them that you know. And, you know, I mean, Will Smith comes to, you know, he's met some good friends, the Wayne brothers, and, you know, last year we went and attended it, and we had a blast. It was the funnest 2 days ever, and we're just looking forward to hanging out with them once again. Lots of pictures to come so you guys can see us hang out with that. And then, you know, the big one's coming. Got the trip to Dubai, so looking forward to that in August. Then we're heading to Jamaica. It's a little family trip, but definitely, you know, got to get a little relaxed and unwind with my people. New York City, and then another trip back to Dubai. And then we are in the ATL. Of course, you know, we're going to be there with the 100 Black Men of Atlanta for the Atlanta Football Classic, so it's going to be awesome this year. You guys stay tuned. There is big changes happening with the Classic this year, and it is going to be off the hook. But now we are back to our show with our wonderful Debbie Snelling. And Debbie, let's get right into it. Now, people shouldn't be going out there having babies to have to get these tax write-offs, but give us some ways they can these kids can lower the tax.
Well, and Calicia, I got to agree with you. For a tax write-off is a bad reason to be making babies. But if you're going to be having babies, then you need to be deriving all the tax benefit you can have from them. So in most cases, you can claim a child as a dependent on your tax return in the year and they were born. Now, we say in most cases because there may be complicating family factors where an ex claims the child or something along that line. But in most cases, a baby born to you can be claimed on your taxes that year. So a baby born at December 31st at 11:59 p.m. and 59 seconds is a tax deduction in that year. A baby born at midnight is not on January 1 is not a tax deduction until the following year. So a colossal one-second ripoff there.
Right.
And this is very awkward. We sometimes in our business have to ask very awkward questions. If you have a baby who is born and who subsequently dies, if it is a live birth for as little as 1 second, so if you get a certificate of live birth, that child can be a tax deduction. This is a horrific conversation to have with people who have lost children. If a child is alive at any time during that year, you know, no matter at what age that child may die, then that child is a tax deduction for that year. And again, let me just say it's a horrific conversation to have with people. Mm-hmm. But on the happier side, let's go back to the midnight 59, 11:59, 59, 59. That child is a tax deduction in that year. So push it out. Be doing the breathing and get that thing out of there before midnight. And as my sister said when she was having her first child, after she was trying to do it to natural childbirth, and after a few minutes of the kind of childbirth pain, she was going, give me drugs and get it out of me.
Right. Or you can just do like me as soon as you find out. Not even wanting to know the sex, just walking and say, I need a C-section. Like, okay.
There you go. Another way that you can benefit from a tax perspective from having a child is with the child tax credit. Now, it's a little bit of a dip here because it's under age 17. If your child is under age 17, not age 17 at the end of the year, but under age 17 at the end of the year, then you may be eligible for a child tax credit or the bonus additional child tax credit. Now, I say the bonus additional child tax credit because the first child tax credit can bring your tax liability to zero, and the second one can get you a tax refund. It's what we call a refundable tax credit. Mm-hmm. The third way that a child can benefit you is with the child and dependent care credit. So if you pay somebody to care for your child who is under age 13 while you work or look for work, be sure to keep track of your child care expenses so you can claim this tax credit. Now, I hold that after-school programs are also eligible for the child tax credit because you generally have your child in the after-school program because you're working. And you need them to be able to go someplace until you get off your job and can go pick them up. So be sure and keep those. Tennis camps. What else happens in the summer? Tennis camps, football camps, all kinds of sports camps, cheerleading camps, band camp, all of that kind of stuff. Why not be aggressive and take that?
Right.
The earned income tax credit. Another way, the earned income tax credit, and this actually, I had a call from somebody today who gets the earned income tax credit, and we were looking at what she can do, and we'll talk about this later, what she needed to be able to increase her take-home pay. Well, since she's going to get a big fat tax refund anyway from the earned income tax credit, why is she paying in any federal income taxes? So we had her change her withholding so that she has no income taxes withheld. She'll still get about a $2,700 refund at the end of the year, found money, and she has enough money to pay her bills every month. Pretty good tax planning, that's what I say. And you've heard me say this before. You know, I view my job as being a profit center. I ought to save you a whole bunch more money than what you pay me. And, you know, anyway, my rant.
Oh, this is good ranting. This is good information. Rant on.
Yeah, I've been ranting all day. I'm still mad about that impervious surfaces tax.
Let's not go there, Debbie. We don't want to be. We don't. That's fun.
So, anyway, so another way that a child can help you, if you adopt a child, there is still a tax credit available for qualifying expenses that you paid to adopt a child. Big, big deal for people who are going to Russia and going to China. Did we ever fix out our riff with Russia over adoption? I don't even know, because of that couple in Tennessee who sent their son back because he was uncontrollable. I don't know. Anyway, the adoption tax credit is an eligible tax credit to be taken. So keep all of those expenses, qualifying expenses, and, you know, that's another way where you can derive a tax benefit for having a child or adopting a child in this case. Number six way, Coverdell Education Savings Account. This is a savings account that you set up to pay qualifying expenses for an eligible educational institution. What institutions are eligible? Basically those that are certified. If it counts when you graduate, they're pretty much eligible. Contributions are not deductible. However, if it's taken out and used to pay for college or eligible, you know, tech school, whatever it may be, then those distributions are generally tax-free, so tax-free growth forever. So you don't get a tax deduction currently, but you save for college education in a tax-free manner. So if you are investing that money well within that education savings account, you have enough money to pay for college at least 90% of what it would cost you otherwise. That's if you have only made 10% over those years, and hopefully you've done much better than 10%. So this is a huge thing that I don't see enough people take advantage of. Higher education credits, number seven. And this also holds true for you if you go back to school. Education tax credits can help offset the cost of education. You still have the American Opportunity Credit. You still have the Lifetime Learning Credit. And we talked about credits before. Credits are a dollar-for-dollar reduction of tax. I calculate that I have a $1,000 tax liability. I get a $1,000 tax credit, and now my taxes are zero. Whatever I had withheld, I get back. So it is a dollar, as opposed to I come down to adjusted gross income, and I get a tax deduction, and now I calculate my tax rate. So it's, you know, again, it's the highest tax bracket, which is 39.6%. I have, and I'm going to round it up to 40, I basically, you know, that's 60% better by getting the credit versus a deduction. Me thinks that sound good.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really good. You know, I have a lifelong dream to go to Harvard, get my MBA. I don't want to sit in the classes. I don't want to sit there and do all the hear the lecture. I just want to do the case studies. I just want to do the case studies. But we know that
I don't like cold weather, and I am not going to be living northeast because I hate cold weather, but that is my lifelong dream, and it could have been a tax write-off.
Well, there you go. And remember that what's included in education expenses are things like your computers and your books. It's not just tuition.
Right.
All of those,
right.
And I'm about to make educators mad, but all of those junk fees that they charge you for paying for the, I can't even think of the new, co-ed, whatever the co-ed stuff is that they have, and the lab fees, and, you know, all of the little junk fees that they pile on, all of those are eligible for education credit. So I send people back all the time and say, don't forget your books. Did you buy a computer? Did you have to have internet access to take this class? All of those qualify. Bing, bang, boom. It's not just about the box. It's about getting way outside the box.
Do you think if I sit on the board, I can write that off?
Maybe that wouldn't be an education credit, but that would be other business deductions.
Right. Oh, just teasing.
So I was laughing today because I told somebody I moved to Houston when I got out of university because it was a long way from where I grew up, number one. And two, they didn't have winter. And that was a really big deal.
Oh, boy.
But the eighth way that you can derive benefit from your child is with student loan interest deductions. It's a tax deduction for adjusted gross income. What does that mean? That means it's on page one of your tax return. That can also be a qualified student loan that you have. Talked to somebody the other day who said, you know, I've got a lot of cash in the bank. Should I pay off my student loan? And I said, well, what are you earning at the bank? And she said, less than 1%. And I said, what are you paying on your student loan? And she said, about 18%. And I was like, I don't think I have to try very hard on this one. Pay it off.
Right. Yeah.
Now, this is where we come back to the tax benefit. Sometimes here, this is a tax deduction, not a tax credit. So that
right.
just meant that she was getting, in her tax bracket, she was getting a 25% tax benefit by paying 15% or 17% more in interest. I mean, it's crazy. So she was paying, her benefit was 25% of 17%, so 4%. You know, pay it off.
That's the way. This is true.
And again, that goes back to, it's not enough just to go to somebody who knows accounting. It's not enough just to go to somebody who knows tax. You got to understand business. You got to understand finances. You got to understand how the whole picture works together.
You got to have that whole concept down. Got to have the concept.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, on here also, you speak on, and I'm moving this down a little bit. People freak out when they get the letters from the IRS, and that's just been a lot of bullet points and topics, you know, IRS, for this show today, and things to, you know, kind of prepare and look for, but what does one do when they receive a letter from the IRS besides yell and scream?
Well, and I'm going to say the first answer is don't panic. It is my experience that most of the notices are wrong. It is very rare. I just had a client the other day, and he had a notice that said, like, pay $50. It's very rare that I say, hey, you know what, you should pay this because I agree with it. You know, And by the way, 2011 notices seem to be going out now. So I'm seeing a lot of notices from people, and so far of the dozen or so notices that I've seen, only that one has been one where I said, that's right, pay the money.
Right.
So I just wrote a letter today for somebody that said we agree in part and we disagree in part.
Right.
So
yeah, you're right about
is,
that. I experienced that personally. I got a letter for 89, almost $90,000, and they were so incorrect. It was ridiculous. So, yes, I just had to say that because I'm being a living testimony.
Well,
think
of it. Let's
say your tax advisor.
Let's say that you send out a million notices asking for, you know, $500 each. So, you know,
right.
let's even make it $50 each. So that's $50 million.
Right.
Right.
And if 90% of those are wrong, that's $45 million that you shouldn't get, but $5 million that you're going to get no matter what.
Right.
Dude, if I could just get $5 million bonus dollars for sending out a bunch of bogus letters, I'd send them out too.
I never thought of it that way.
I'm jaded. I'm very jaded. You know I'm jaded about all this stuff.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, know that there are, you can get a notice for a lot of reasons. It might be asking you for money. It might be saying, hey, we've changed your return, and here's why. It might say, I just had a notice that I got today that said, hey, we don't have this same amount of mortgage interest that you claim. Please provide us documentation. So in that case, it was a very specific issue. We had notices that say, you know, you didn't claim stock trades. Where, you know, you could go back specifically to the tax return and go, there it is. So anyway, so each letter, each notice offers you specific instructions on what action to take. If you receive a correction notice, that is one that says, we've changed your return. And they don't say we've changed your return. They say we've corrected your return. Well, usually not. Usually it's just a notice. Usually it's wrong. We just talked about that. Figure it out.
Right.
Talk to your tax advisor. Compare it with the information on your return. If you agree with it, then you don't usually have to do anything except wait for your money, which comes back in less than it was, or send them the money. Or if you disagree with it, then you got to contact. Yeah, again, I urge you to contact your tax preparer before you respond. I had a guy just today who was going to respond, and I went, well, you were going to send them information they weren't going to ask for. You know, they didn't ask you for this information, so if you send it to them, then you open yourself up to having that area audited. So let's not send them that.
Right.
All that they're asking for is this specific issue. Let's just respond to this specific issue. And you know, we're writing a written notice. I just sent a letter out today to somebody where, you know, about late filing payments, estimated payment. And we talked about that earlier in today's show. You got to make estimated payments or the IRS sends you a penalty. Man, it's great. It's great to be the guys who are writing the laws. If you don't pay us on time, you owe us money. If you have an impervious surface, you owe us money. If we just send you out a notice, you owe us money. Anyway, so most of your correspondence with the IRS can be handled without calling or visiting an office. Usually you can send them a copy of your tax return or copy of the page or a copy of the documentation. Keep copies of all the correspondence that you send and keep that with your that year's tax return.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, you guys heard me rant about this earlier this year. The IRS does not send correspondence by email. And I can't remember how stupid it was before somebody sent out an email requesting. And the IRS does not say, what's your name, address, and Social Security number. They know your name, address, and Social Security number. They're not going to ask you for it. And that was the scam earlier this year. Somebody sent out, it wasn't even an email address that looked like, I mean, it was a .com address. It didn't say IRS. It didn't say Treasury. It was just like, send your response to Calithia.com. And people are applying. Are you kidding me? So now whoever that person was has got name, address, and Social Security number and date of birth, and now how hard is it for me to steal your identity? Well, I'll tell you, not very hard is how.
Right.
So I'm on a rant. I keep going off on rants. So know that the IRS sends notices and letters by mail. If you get something from the IRS via email that says that they're asking for something, it is fraud, period. It is fraud. Don't play with that. Anyway, so contact us. Even if we didn't prepare your return, contact us. Contact your tax preparer. If you did it yourself, contact whoever you trust, but contact somebody.
Right. Definitely you have to. You have to. And they need to be professional and an expert in what they do. And Debbie, let everyone know how they can contact you and follow you yourself. And then I heard that your mixer went very well, the Atlanta Business Mixer that you just recently had, and let us know when the next one is.
I tell you, we had over 150 people at our June Atlanta Business Mixer. Our next mixer is scheduled for July the 18th at 6 p.m. at the Hudson Grill, Sandy Springs, in a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. You can reach me. You can ask me about that. You can ask me tax stuff by email at tsrtax.com. TSR stands for the Snelling Report, tsrtax.com. I'm sorry, tsrtax@gmail.com. One of our websites, which is a great site, is tsrtax.com. It's got guides about starting a business. It's got guides about life planning and life-changing decisions. It's got guides about having a child. We got it there. The Snelling Report is my blog, thesnellingreport.com. You can reach us through that. I've been blogging mainly on our Facebook group, Tax Tips for Small Business. You can reach us, as you mentioned, on Twitter. It's at Snelling Report. If you can't, you can type my name, Debbie Snelling, as a search, and I'll be the whole first page. You can reach me. Just contact any of those. LinkedIn, it's Debbie Snelling. We're all over the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely are. And, of course, you can get more information on BillGrowAndJoy.com. Always have your RSS running and click right back to it and get more information on you also. Well, you know, each and every month we look forward to you joining us, Debbie, each and every month. You'll be back next month with us July 24th. So we look forward to that 3 p.m., the time that you're here with us. We thank you for all your expertise, you know, and just, you know, putting us on the path of success here at Bill Grown and Joy.
Always love to be here, Kalitha. I don't always go off on a rant, but I always have a good time.
Yeah. I need you to, when we finish this interview, I need you to go get, like, a nice cup of ice water and do not go punch the table in regards to that tax law. It's frustrating. Get better, okay?
Okay.
And then you guys have it, Debbie Snelling, The Snelling Report, your monthly Snelling Report here on Bill Grow and Enjoy BGE Radio, powered by Blog Talk at Snelling Report on Twitter, at Kalitha. You can follow me on Twitter, also BillGrowAndEnjoy.com. More information, become a free member, get in the loop of us, with us, newsletters, and kind of, you know, keep in the loop of all of many, many things that we have going on, because it is so many things going on. Make sure you guys on Friday, Jiggy Jag is on the air, 3 p.m. each and every Friday. Marketing and social media, podcasting, all the things you need to know about marketing and branding on BGE Presents. And this Friday at 3 p.m., he has Dennis Berry speaking to the masses. Huge, huge tech consultant. I'll be joining him. And Socially Yours is back once a month. You guys know that Jay Wilburn and her co-host Ross Dixon is on the air teaching you how to monetize all of your social media and pull it together. You know, you have to do that in these times to be relevant. If you're not, you're a dinosaur. So it is what we have to do. And, you know, it's just great here in Bill Grown and Joy that, you know, I have these experts that are here to, and you know, educate you guys on that, keeping you on the path of success. And the Hangout Helper is going to be with Jay and Ross Dixon this Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern. And the Hangout Helper is a huge coach, master trainer with Google. He helps others, you know, harness technology and apply it to their own industry. Following his lead, thousands of people worldwide are mastering the use and power of social media, video broadcast, communication, and discoverability online. This guy is the master of Hangout. For many of you guys that I know that Hangout is new, but I'm telling you, I love it. I'm learning myself. It's the thing. I mean, I don't even use Skype any longer. You know, every once in a while I may, but definitely Google is the way to go. And he's going to tell you guys all about the Hangout. So that's the Hangout Helper. So thank you guys again for joining me, joining Debbie, listening to Debbie with her expert tax and financial tips today here on Bill Grown and Joy BGE Radio, powered by Blog Talk, BillGrownAndJoy.com. And as I always tell you guys, build, grow, and enjoy.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalitha Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things, positive actions lead to positive results.